The put down, the swing of the right leg.
Yeah, baby.
It's on its way.
Yeah,
it is good.
Yeah.
Coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam. That is unbelievable. 54 and 52 at the gun. That is unrealism right there. And the Bengals advance to the Final Four AFC Championship game, Dan.
We'll try to win it here from 45. Pepper's snap is a little high, pulled down by Wisnowski. Robbie Gould has it away, and it is good! Robbie Gould has kicked the 49ers to victory here in Green Bay.
The golden leg of Robbie Gould going to an NFC Championship game. The Packers, 3 years in a row, now have been put out.
Matt Gay, with 4 seconds on the clock, will attempt a 30-yard field goal from the left hash. Hits it with the right foot. Kick on its way. It is through. It is good. Matt Gay brings it home. Los Angeles will host the NFC Championship game next Sunday at SoFi Stadium. 30-27 is the final. What did we just witness?
36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking. Right side he wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelsey. Touchdown! Kansas City! One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelsey on a push fake comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Bengals, Rams, Niners, and Chiefs radio network, as if you couldn't tell, from a phenomenal weekend of the NFL that could be hard to top in the championship games with Cincinnati going to Kansas City and San Francisco going to face the Rams at SoFi where the Super Bowl will be held. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. How about that weekend? I mean, what an incredible weekend
greatest
of football.
Weekend of football ever.
Is that what you took from our text chain? I mean, were those guys talking about, you
no,
know,
they
quarterbacks?
Weren't the only ones. Yeah, but they were excited. It was an exciting time. No question. I'm just
because the only thing I took from our text chain was Orrin Bragamore. I mean, that's what I got.
He was bragging.
Three road dogs, bud. Road dogs. Three.
Me.
And
me.
I got the top passer this weekend.
Me.
It was what, 3 points away or 6 points away from having all six.
The world of Commander McBragg. Yeah, no, I mean, it was all braggadocious.
It was an epic weekend on my part, John Fricky.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good weekend. I mean, no question. But you had a good weekend. Give props for that.
Yeah. Got happens.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He did his thing. No question.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. But then it goes to overtime, and almost all four road teams won. And the Buffalo-Kansas City game, they're already talking about, you know, where it ranks in playoff history. I have no idea. But it's one of the greats. It's, you know, for as great as the fourth quarter of the Tampa Rams game was, it was nothing compared to the finish of the Kansas City-Buffalo game, which was just stupid. In the last 2 minutes and the first possession of overtime, so however long that took, you had five scores, four touchdowns and a field goal, and a two-point extra point. You had 31 points scored. I mean, just insane what was going on in the last 2 minutes of that game. When you thought it was over, nope. And then it ends. And then that creates another controversy, which gives us headlines this morning. Where was the one headline I saw here? I want to see if I can find that. Hang on. I think I know where it is.
While you're finding that, I want to talk about something, Hugh, here.
What you got?
Each game this weekend was better than the one before it. Like, it just happened to kind of go that way. And,
yeah, right.
You know, maybe you could flip the 49ers win and what we saw from the Rams. I think we almost forgot just how fun, like it feels so long ago. The Bengals-Titan game, now looking back on it, feels like it was like a week 7 game, kind of a dreary Sunday afternoon.
Compared
it was
to
such a good game, but
saw,
everything else
that we saw,
kept raising the bar and raising the bar.
Yeah.
The fourth best
almost,
game of the weekend.
Yeah, it's
but
wild
distance.
To think how good that game was. A kick from Evan McPherson at the end, the bravado, 52 yards, and it was like the worst game of the week.
Yeah.
It was the worst game of the
And
week.
The fact that Joe Burrow's like, hey, man, we got get used to this, baby, because we going to be here.
Normally, I'm not trying to compare. You know, every sport has its own thing. Normally, I think college football provides a little bit more drama at the end of its season. But the playoff this year, and obviously Georgia winning aside, I mean, the NFL has outshone college football's playoff by a large margin after this past week.
And let's just hope that we get it in the conference title games in the Super Bowl and they aren't a letdown.
You can't. It's going to be a letdown, right?
It's going to be.
49ers are going to flop.
Yeah, it's going to be something.
I don't know what the Chiefs-Bengals are going to be, but 49ers are going to flop, right? It's going to be a letdown.
Something's going to happen. It's not going to be – I can't see it being any better than it was this weekend. I can't see it.
And here's that headline. Fans outraged over controversial NFL overtime rules after a wild game. Oh, so now you are. You know, Steve Holman's right. You weren't so much outraged over the controversial rules when the Falcons lost in the first position.
No, that's the point. Like, the point that Steve is making is so – true, because after that game, there was no talk of all the rules need to change. Nobody spoke. Everybody was talking. Oh my gosh, did you see that comeback by Tom Brady? That's all you heard about. I don't recall anybody being that upset about the way. Oh, Abe just raised.
Well, no, it's not that. I'm not going to defend this conversation, but I think I can justify it. And I've seen this written. I'm not the only one with this thought. There was feelings that the Falcons blew that game. And they did. They blew that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was – you're seeing a stronger sentiment now because they felt the Falcons deserved to lose after what they did at the end of the third and fourth quarter. I don't think a lot of fans felt that the Bills deserved – to lose. Whether we saw ridiculously terrible defense and game management and special teams decisions.
Listen to what 13
you
seconds.
Just said. No, I'm saying, I agree,
seconds.
John. I agree.
Listen to what you just said. A lot of people don't feel like they should have, they felt like they
deserved to lose.
Yeah, they deserved to lose. Are you serious with that argument?
I didn't say I agree. I said I'm providing some justification.
No, but are those people, like, I would call those people stupid.
Would too. Squib kick. Don't let Kelsey get a free release.
How about
make a tackle?
How about you play defense?
13 seconds. 13.
Agreed.
See, that's the problem that I have with all of this. Because those are the folks that feel like that's a participation trophy move, in my opinion. That's straight up participation trophy. Hey, excuse me, sir.
But we didn't get a chance.
We didn't get a chance to touch the football. Like, this is not fair. Okay, do a better job of coin tossing there. Do a better job of picking heads and tails.
Oh, come on, Hugh Douglas.
No, I am so serious.
Because you're talking about do a better chance.
But Hugh's right. They should have squib kicked.
Listen, chance.
I am
well,
so
yeah, they
serious.
They definitely should have squib kicked, take
well,
a couple tails seconds.
Tails never fails, guys.
I'm so serious. And I'm going to tell you exactly the reason why I feel it. As a former NFL defensive player, I revel for moments like that because that's a glory. You know how they were talking about yesterday? This is a legacy-defining moment. That could have defined your legacy as a defense to stop them in sudden death overtime to give your offense the chance
to win
the
game.
Plus,
you're the vaunted Buffalo Bill defense.
Come
I mean,
the
number
one defense in the league coming in.
Come on, man. Stop that. They came up short. Deal with it.
Here's the question. This is the bonus question from Rapid Fire. Will the NFL now consider
no
changing the overtime rules?
They shouldn't.
I didn't say whether they should or should.
No.
You think they will?
Why?
I'm just asking.
Hey, John,
the NFL
I'm
has a way.
Because
the
headline's like, fans outraged
why?
Over controversial.
Question, will they change it or will they consider changing it?
Will the competition committee have a discussion about it?
Here's the thing, John. When you remember,
you know why they're going to have a discussion about it?
Because
pressure. Bills fans and the Bills are going to complain about it.
No, it's not. It's not that. It's not. It's kind of that, but it's not that. It was a couple years ago. A play I love so much was Nikhil Roby and the pass interference call that didn't get called in that Saints game, which was glorious.
Yep, the Rams,
what happened
the
next year? They went back and looked at the pass interference. When you have something like that happens on a large stage in the playoffs.
Because people get all up in
their
face.
What, there's a bigger stage
back,
than the Super Bowl?
Well, no. I'm not saying there's a bigger stage. But when everything gets magnified in the playoffs, so when something happens in the playoffs, that's when they go, wait. This is our biggest stage. This is when we have the most eyes on us. We got to be perfect
bigger than
in how
the
we
Super
do
Bowl.
This.
And by the way, New England was short on the play, but that's not the point.
I'm just saying, John. Like when something like happens in the playoffs, that's when
better defense.
That's when decisions tend to get changed and rules tend to get implemented when it doesn't happen in the playoffs.
The participation trophy.
The new 30 for 30 that's coming out right now on the Tuck rule. the tuck rule.
Changed
the game completely.
Of course, because it was Tom Brady.
Well, not just that, but it happened in the playoffs. When things like that happen in the playoffs, I'm not saying that the rules didn't get changed or shouldn't have got changed or should get changed after that Falcon Super Bowl or whatever, but when things happen in the playoffs, that's when things get changed.
Hugh, if you were in charge and they said, okay, listen, we are going to change the NFL is changing the overtime rules, all right? So, and this is not a discussion as to whether we will, we are. How would you change them, Hugh?
You know, to make everybody happy, John, everybody touches the ball within the whole overtime.
Would you play a 15-minute overtime period?
That's what I was about to say, John. Or play 15 full minutes. So that way.
They did the 15. They took the 15 away, though, right?
Man, listen, this has changed so many times. This has changed so many times. I can't remember. I remember playing in an era where it was sudden death. I remember that.
Well, but it technically is now,
in a way. Well, it all depends. No, John, because if you kick a field goal,
you
get an opportunity.
In a way, it is. I mean, because it was sudden death yesterday. You have to get that time. Right.
Yeah, and, so, but the Chiefs were all – they were going for the win regardless. You know what? They probably would have kicked the field goal, but, hell, the defense broke down so bad that they just went for the touchdown. But that's the point that I'm making. The NFL, when you look at it, when you look at the games that were played yesterday and the day before that, Saturday, the reason why these teams won were because there were monumental errors in key plays. That's what the NFL is about, John.
Yep.
I mean, that's why it's played at the high. That's why it's called at the highest level. When you look at all those games that were played yesterday, the announcer, well, they broke down the coverage in the secondary. That happened in every
game.
Can't
get a fourth down and one. Right?
Come on, man. These participation trophy people need to just relax and just deal with it.
Mike Heine, man of many hats on the Atlanta Hawks on the first game of Atlanta United's preseason starts tomorrow. Tomorrow they're in action. And his thoughts on the NFL and more next. On the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 during the game.
Amount of time on that.
But then we got to talk
about having
a
very spirited conversation.
Yes, we are.
Here.
But I have to ask you, Mike. What has been the secret sauce in my Dan Quinnism?
Yeah.
What's been the secret sauce?
Better effort and activity on defense. I think you really saw evidence of that kind of turnaround last night in Charlotte. You know, the last time the Hawks played the Hornets, it was in early December, and I think it was the game that kind of prompted Travis to come on this radio station and
say what he said.
Start to point out some of his team's defensive shortcomings. But that was a game where the Hawks gave up 130 points. They had only 4 steals, 3 blocks, 6 forced turnovers. Completely unacceptable numbers in an NBA game. Last night you play the same team. Only difference is Gordon Hayward's out, and that's significant. But still, the Hawks go from giving up 130 to 91. The Hawks going from having 3 blocks to 6, 4 steals to 12, 6 forced turnovers to 16, and the Charlotte Hornets last night had one of the worst three-point shooting performances in the history of the NBA, which I think is evidence of some really, really good perimeter defending. So I just think the defensive activity has been so much better. You hold the Miami Heat to 108 on Friday. You hold the Charlotte Hornets to 91 on Sunday. Both of those teams are going to be in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be in the postseason, probably. Milwaukee Bucks will definitely be in the postseason. So not only is it a 4-game winning streak, but you've done it against 4 very good teams.
So are you buying that this is rolling now? Or
yeah, I am. Okay. I am. Yeah, I mean, obviously danger lurks at every turn in the NBA. But if you look at the next week or two of the Hawks' schedule, play the Sacramento. First of all, they get 2 nights off, which I think is very important, especially with DeAndre Hunter having to recover now from an extremely dirty flagrant foul that prompted the ejection of Kelly Oubre last night. So you give DeAndre a couple nights to get that back soreness taken care of. You play Sacramento on Wednesday, a team you've already beaten on the road, winnable game. You play Boston, winnable game on Friday. You have some guy named LeBron coming in on Sunday. Lakers aren't playing all that well right now, winnable game. Play the Toronto Raptors, then winnable game. So they can really keep this rolling. I don't look at anything coming up on their schedule like, they have to go to Chicago and then to Brooklyn. They don't have anything like that for a while. So I do think they can keep this rolling, John.
All right. So walk me through your spirited discussion here.
Well, I think we've kind of lost the plot a little bit in, you know, what we're choosing to be upset about with the the Chiefs-Bills game last night. And I tweeted this after the game. You know, and I will admit, I was busy that night doing the post-game show, but I really don't remember a lot of, like, national outcry about the overtime rules after the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl.
And you know what the outcry was about? I could tell you. Oh, my gosh! That was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, I seem to remember the same. And, wow, that Patriots quarterback's the best ever.
Oh, my gosh, did you see what he did?
Golly, wow, the NFL's awesome. And now, you know, we have a completely different energy towards the overtime rules.
Hey, they didn't get a chance. They didn't touch the ball.
Yes, I've heard. I also, and you know, I did not take my brain pills this morning, Hugh, so my memory might be faulty, but didn't the Bills have the lead with 13 seconds to
they
play
did.
In regulation?
And they had to go like 70-some
yards. With the Chiefs having the ball on their own 25.
Yes.
I don't know.
And like I said this morning, I played defense, so I'm going to be a little bit biased. I did that. And there's a certain – you talk about legacy games you know, defining moments. That could have been a defining moment for the number one defense in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I understand, you know, people are like, oh, they were tired. So?
Yeah.
That's what you get paid for.
That's
like,
right.
To me, it's amazing how, to fit the narrative, people always want to move the line for certain individuals or certain things. Like, if that had been any other time – oh, well, they get paid to play defense, or you should be out there. Man, come on, man. Y'all need to
stop. I mean, how many times in the wake of 28-3 did we hear, the Falcons could have stopped them?
Yeah, the defense.
Well,
that wasn't Matt Ryan's fault. Yeah. And I've been on it wasn't Matt Ryan's fault. The defense gave all those points or whatever. Everybody moves the meter to fit the narrative that they wanted. So now it's like, oh, they were tired. They didn't get a chance. I think all of that comes from the fact that we had a great weekend of football. And nobody wanted it to end.
Yeah.
They wanted it to end a little bit different.
Well, and look, I'm among them in a way because it was a tremendous game. It was incredibly entertaining. One of the best NFL playoff games ever played. Really the best divisional playoff weekend ever. But, Hugh, you've played the game. You've played the game on the defensive side of the ball. You understand when teams are evenly matched. And we had four. This was the beauty of the weekend. You had four games where the teams were so evenly matched.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that, the margin for error
is huge.
It's small, narrow.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I meant.
So narrow. Where one breakdown in the secondary, and I thought you made a good point off the air, just in what we were talking about in the bullpen. The defensive lines were getting after it.
Yes.
The defensive lines were absolutely doing their job. It was one bust in the secondary that created what happened at the end of the Bills-Chiefs game. It certainly is what created the Rams field goal to win yesterday. That's how narrow the margin of error is right now. But it has nothing to do with, oh, we have sudden death overtime and it's not fair. And I want to see Josh Allen have the ball. Like, yeah, I want to see Josh Allen have the ball too. But Josh Allen should be talking to his defense this morning.
Listen, the best part about all of this, like even like the sequence of plays, because I was tweeting with an old teammate of mine who is a DB coach. And, you know, he said, hey, he's like, boy, the defensive coaches and the secondaries are having a rough playoff.
Oh, yes.
He said that exactly. Because you could pick any game of this weekend, and you saw DBs and safeties sitting back and talking about, hey, like, I don't know what they were saying. I'm ad-libbing. What the hell are you doing? I thought you had that. Oh, my bad, dog. Right. Like, you had receivers running down the middle of the field unmolested. Like Cooper Kupp, and who was it the other – was it Stephon Diggs last night? And
Gabe Davis.
Man, listen, you can pick any game, John, and you saw Cardinal sin. Don't give them the middle. Let them work the sides. Do not give up the middle. And that's where you saw the breakdown. Guys start moving. You saw guys communicating in the secondary, and somebody didn't get the memo. And that's what it was. But that's football in a nutshell, especially – when you talk about this playoff series, that's the thing that I saw this weekend. The greatest part about it was, John, you saw the defensive lines playing well, but you saw breakdowns in the secondary that cost you big times. It just cost you.
Yeah, no, and it'll be interesting to see if that'll happen again
this weekend, especially when we're talking about the secondary of the Kansas City Chiefs and whether or not they have Honey Badger. All right, Mike, I ask you this question. Ask the team, I'm going to ask you. Given the outcry here suddenly, I guess they just figured out that the overtime rules are not perfect here. Do you think that the competition committee will at least look at the overtime rules in this offseason?
Will they look at it? Probably. But what does that really mean? I mean, are they going to look at it seriously, or is a team going to put a proposal on the table and they'll spend 5 minutes talking about it? I don't think the rule will change going into next year, if that's what you're asking me. And here's what I keep coming back to about last night. If the rule had been that each team was guaranteed a possession no matter what, in my opinion, the Kansas City Chiefs still would have won the game last night, but the score would have been different. Because both defenses were so depleted at the end of that game, I think it would have been Kansas City. I mean, you saw it. They went down. They marched, just marched and got a touchdown. Buffalo would get the ball. They would march and get a touchdown. And then Kansas City would get the ball back, and they'd go back and score, and the game would be over. So I think the outcome would have been the same. The score would have been different. And that might be one of the things that the competition committee will evaluate. One of the reasons why the NFL has such a great thing going right now is because of the excitement created by the sudden death overtime format. And I know it stinks that you could run the risk of losing a coin toss and not touching the ball in overtime, but it doesn't change the fact that your defense is still out there on the field and is fully able and capable of getting a stop or holding to a field goal. I'll just say it again. I don't want to sound like a broken record. Where was this energy after the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl? I don't remember it. I do not remember that happening.
It wasn't.
What
is non-existent.
What changed last night that now all of a sudden this is such an outrage? I mean, and I don't want to single one guy out, but it's just the first guy I looked at because I value his opinion a great deal, and that's Peter King. First thing Peter King tweets after the Bills-Chiefs game last night is how awful the overtime rule is. You know, I went back and looked at what Peter King wrote about the night of Super Bowl
51. You wasn't minding tweets, was it, Mike Contra?
No, I couldn't go back and find tweets that far. But I did find his article, his Monday Morning Quarterback. Not a single mention of the overtime rule.
Yeah, right.
Not a single mention.
Well,
where was this energy five years ago?
You know this better than most because you're a Penn State fan. Were we to have a conference title game or a playoff game in college that is settled by 2 points extra points?
Never, ever, ever, ever we will have, see that happen.
I know, but if we do, guess what? People will suddenly realize that this is not a good system.
That's yes, John, spot on. Exactly right. I mean, again, I understand. And I was rooting for the Bills last night. I'll be fully transparent. I was rooting for the Bills. I really wanted to see just to have kind of a refreshing Super Bowl matchup. I'm a little fatigued on the Chiefs, to be honest. So I was rooting for the Bills. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see them win. I get the complaint. You want to see Josh Allen potentially have the ball there at the end in overtime, but I don't think it would have mattered. I think Kansas City in that format, unless the Bills went for two at the end of the first overtime, which they could have, I don't think it would have mattered. I think Buffalo's defense was so gassed at that point, in the same way that the Falcons' defense was gassed at the end of Super Bowl 51. I'll tell you who I would not want to be, by the way, this morning. The Packers special teams coordinator. Because they're about to take that guy's job.
You mean the former?
They are going to take that guy's job. Yeah, oh, man. I mean, Matt LaFleur in a production meeting with Troy Aikman, telling Troy Aikman, I just hope our special teams doesn't screw this up for us.
And guess like what?
It's Mason Crosby and all that, right? Yeah.
And guess what?
Well,
no, it was an awesome weekend of football. And the Hawks are playing great, which is awesome. And Atlanta United, John, you mentioned they have their first preseason friendly tomorrow. So things are, even though baseball is still a little bit disappointing with where they are right now, things are really starting to get
ramped up. Today the players make a proposal. It's not going to be accepted.
No, but it's a
but
dialogue.
At least we're moving.
I mean, that's good.
At least we're getting going here.
You want a dialogue.
You know, and hopefully, you know, maybe the owners go, oh, you know what? Actually, we might be able to work with this, and then they make a counter proposal.
Hey, good
and,
luck with that. You
know. I'd rather them talk than not talk.
Well, at least they're talking, but to get it done, like, right now, no, they ain't.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put money on that.
No,
I wouldn't either. I mean, but at least they're talking, so hopefully they can get something done here in the not-too-distant future. We're We have a little bit of time before spring training, about a month, but still, I want to make sure this gets, because we got to work out. Let's not forget, we still have to sign Freddie Freeman.
Yeah,
we got other stuff going on here. All right, Mike, as always, do appreciate.
You the man,
Take
Mike.
Take care, guys.
At MikeConnie929 on the Twitter. All right, Andy and Randy, top of the hour on this wild Monday on Sports Radio 95 again. Now will be a lot of Hawks in the countdown to the conference championship games. My thing is that, you know, that it was a great weekend of football and all. I can hope you
– The best weekend of football
we
ever.
We can have another great weekend on Sunday, a great doubleheader on Sunday with Cincinnati, Kansas City, San Francisco, and the Rams, because I got nobody left to root for. I really couldn't care less, you know, so it's like, any of those four teams wins the Super Bowl, I'm going to be going, okay.
I mean, you were for a good time at that point.
Yeah, I guess so.
I could spit it out.
And I got nobody to root for, or even really, for that matter, really root against.
I want to see all these Cincinnati Bengals fans come out to woodwork. I've only known in my lifetime one true Cincinnati Bengals fan. And she lives in Carolina, and you know, I used to hear, like, for a long time, I didn't know who that was stolen from who day. Like, the who that stole who day from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Of course they did. A bunch of things.
I didn't know that, because I thought it was the other way around. So she educated me, like, diehard Bengals fan. So I know she's excited, but I tell you what, John, that's the only one that I know. Well, I know two. I have a teammate of mine who's from Cincinnati, played with him in college, that he was a Cincinnati fan. Two people in my lifetime that I know for a fact were Cincinnati, for day one, Cincinnati Bengals fans. Now everybody else, I'm looking at them sideways. Because y'all didn't, hey, nobody tweeted about the Bengals. I know they didn't give you nothing to tweet about. But, hell, even Cleveland fans back in the day were down with the dog pound and all other stuff. Cincinnati fans, y'all ain't had a whole lot to talk about the last couple years. So, for y'all to be coming out the woodwork now, yeah, I'm looking at y'all sideways, real sideways.
You know, I mean, I know it was kind of chilly this weekend, which is perfect because it was great TV. The NFL was the second best television of the weekend, because the only thing better
was – The first best was Ozark.
Well, I'm not giving away – this is no spoilers here. But
they handled us.
When my daughter came to dinner last night, she sat down and she just looked and said, "Ruth is not happy." And I went, "No, she's not." You know, but it got me to thinking a little bit, too. This show has become so good. Robin Wright actually directed the last, I think, three episodes of the first half of season four. Second half will be out in the fall. And, of course, there was a little teaser at the beginning of it. But, this show has become so good, Hugh, and it's gotten better as time has gone on. It's sort of like Better Call Saul's gotten better. I start thinking of, you know, what's my favorite show of all time, which is still Breaking Bad is still my favorite show of all time. But this is starting to – it's entered the room. If this finishes this strong.
Like I said, I don't like the way Ozark handled me this weekend.
Really good TV, though.
Yeah, but I don't like the way I was handled. I tell you what else was good this weekend, John. I don't know if you watch Power, but there was something that happened in Power this weekend that has, like, the internet abuzz. I don't want to give it away.
You can't give away a spoiler, right?
I can't give it away, but yeah. It has the internet above. It really has people shaking, like scratching their head, wondering how the hell can something like this happen. But but Ozark from Ozark this weekend, the way that they said, "Hey, we're gonna end it like this, and you're gonna have to wait to see the next seven episodes." How dare you? How dare you break up my binge watching of Ozark from the weekend? Because you want to take a hiatus, and you've already shot the episodes. You've already shot them. Why aren't you just releasing them? Like, why are you doing this? Hell, it took you 2 years to release the last couple episodes, and now this is how you want to play me? This is why people get punched in the mouth. That's the main reason why people get punched in the mouth right there for doing stuff like that. Orin?
So I went back and looked at my Netflix history, and I guess at some point I watched the first six episodes. Do not remember one thing from them. I remember some things, but not a lot of things. So I started rewatching the pilot, and I finished the pilot episode.
I tell you what, though. But I tell you one thing that Ozark does that I really love. Like, the characters. you like Marty and his wife, they always into something, and it always looks like they about to get smoked like every episode. Like this might be the one. Even though they're the main characters, they do a great job of making you feel like, hold up, dog, what you doing? Like you about to really, you taking those penitentiary chances like that? Yeah. So it's pretty good as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, B easy says, so there are more than seven episodes. Well, there's 14. They just split it, okay? B easy.
Okay, so what you
I know,
about?
You just got a tweet here. So they dropped the first seven. Now, in the fall, they'll do the second half of the next seven. So, you know, I assume it's seven. They said they were splitting the season into two. At least, you know, because you know what drives me insane right now is that they figured out these streaming services that they could act like old-fashioned television networks sometimes you and drop one, like, you know, they'll have a show that's popular and they drop one a week, you know, so they drag it out. I just drop the whole thing. You know, let us binge. That's the whole point of it.
See,
that's what makes it so much fun.
See, what happened was this. This is my take on it. I think that when you binge watch it, they skewed the numbers a little bit. I don't know. And then they wanted to try to take that power back. Because who did it? Amazon started doing it with what was that cartoon that they had on Amazon? No, they did it with The Boys. They did it with The
Hulu
Boys.
Hulu did it, too. Hulu yeah, they had a did couple programs. And then, yeah, Hulu was big into just, we're going to give you one at a time.
Yeah,
and
but
that's it.
That, it. Like, the big thing was initially just to drop it all at once. And then Hulu and Amazon said, no, we're not about to do that. We're going to make you come back every week. Because they did that with Wheels of Time. And I just want to say, anybody that's working with Wheels of Time, y'all should have just dropped that all at once. Because that wasn't that great. You know, you could at least gave us three episodes to see if we really wanted to watch it instead of torturing us to watch the whole, six, seven episodes to let us find out if it was garbage or not. But, yeah, they should just go ahead, man, and just drop them like they used to.
Anyway, I've just Abe, you're not into Ozark, I guess.
I don't do shows too often on any of these networks, to be honest. I'll do the movies.
Watch Breaking Bad?
No, because here's the biggest problem, John. A show's really got to lock me in early. I'm not going back and watching shows. And if I'm into a show and I miss like two or three episodes, I'm just done with that show for good. I'm out. I'm not catching up. I'm not going to try and catch up. I'm just out.
Is there some really good TV? I mean, Mayor of
Kingstown. I'm not denying the quality of the shows.
Have you ever seen Mayor of Kingstown?
No, I keep hearing about it, though. But I haven't.
You like Oz?
I heard it was like right on par with Oz, but I just didn't see it. I haven't seen
it. Yeah, it's really good, too. Mayor of Kingstown is really good. If you liked Oz, you'd love Mayor of Kingstown.
You got me for like two, maybe
Jeremy
two and
Renner's
a half hours.
Really good.
I'm not doing 54 hours of content.
Oh, I have. I've watched, like, you know, missed a series. Like, I missed Ray Donovan and or Bosch, both those series. And then, you know, watched seven seasons over the course of, like, you know, 2 weeks.
And Bosch is a cop show that's on Amazon Prime. It's really good.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, really good show.
Yep, Titus Welliver. Yeah, no, it was good.
So Jamie Hector, Marlo from The Wire.
Yep. Jamie Hector, very good. Yeah. So anyway,
no, I mean, I will watch. The funny thing is, John, I will watch absolutely terrible films. I mean, just horrifically bad.
And television is so much better than the movies right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I will watch terrible films.
The worst movie, the
instead
better.
High quality TV show.
I watch some pretty bad movies that
that's
I wouldn't even
true.
Like to let
no, I'm
anybody
talking like,
know that I watched.
With this all due true. Respect to the Sci-Fi Channel,
I've watched some weird movies.
Like sci-fi originals.
Are y'all having a contest right now? Who watched the weird movie?
My movies are way weirder than the ones you watch.
I will challenge your quality of films just with what I've seen from the Sci-Fi Channel. Hugh, like 2 weeks ago, I watched a movie called Lavalantula. It's about tarantulas.
You know what? I started it,
watch
but
Breaking
I couldn't
Bad.
Finish it.
Maybe the greatest TV show of all time, but you'll watch Lavalantula.
It was preceded by the award-winning Ice Spiders.
I watched what's called Dogface, a trap house drama. That was pretty bad. But it was shot here in Atlanta.
Let's get the hell out of here, man, for y'all starting naming horrible movies, dog, for real.
Andy Randay coming up next. Everybody have a safe and wonderful day. Peace.